Hello, everybody. Thanks once again for joining the Covering Podcast. We may have a name. What did they call it?
Let's cover it.
Let's cover it. Let's cover it.
It's my wife's suggestion, by the way. Give honor where honor's due.
Well,
right?
That's true. Give honor where honor's due. Yep. Yeah. And so because we are covering several different things, and although we've only got a handful of podcasts, we're jumping on the deep end of the pool. We've talked about deconstructionism. Now we're talking about a biblical male. And I know that's not an easy subject to get a hold of, especially in today's society, but it is what it is. So in this episode, we will talk about the male specifically as a husband.
Yes.
And talk about what the Bible says about, out of Ephesians, what the Apostle Paul wrote in regard to a church in Ephesus that was struggling, and a young pastor who needed some encouragement and also some instruction as well. And so I think we'll have a good conversation today, Chris.
That's good.
I appreciate you being with me. And let me say, for those of you who may be joining us for the first time, my name is Dwayne Lee, and I'm the host of this Covering It podcast.
Let's cover it.
Let's cover it. Yeah. So anyway, so let's just a little debrief on what we've done so far is basically we've jumped in, we've talked about gender identity and what the world thinks about that and things as that contrast what Scripture says and a biblical view and the fact that God created man and woman distinctly and specifically, and the world has tried to unravel that,
right,
and tried to make it to where whatever you want to be, you can be. And unfortunately, that's not what the Bible says. And we don't believe that. We believe what Scripture says. And unfortunately, the world doesn't agree with us. And that's where we are. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where we are. And so, but that's what we've talked about a little bit and the importance of that. And really what a male should be. And, you know, even from Hollywood television and sitcoms and things of that nature, how they've really distorted the essence of a man,
right,
and really what he should be. And as, like I said, as we're about ready to talk about the role as a husband, and not everybody is a husband, but you, Chris, you and I both have had the privilege and the opportunity to do some premarital counseling before couples get married. And whether I have the opportunity to go through full-length counseling sessions or coaching sessions, I don't care which one you call it, but just to make sure that the male and the female understand their roles,
yes,
whether they are Christians or not.
Correct.
And they'll just look at me and go, you know what? I don't know that I ever knew that. Have you had that happen to you?
I have. I think we have this misconception in our modern world of what marriage looks like, of the importance of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly in the Bible, God, in the book of Hosea says that you will no longer call me Bailey, which Hebrew is master. Right. You will call me Ishi, which is husband.
Mm-hmm.
So even when we look at God's relationship that he had with Israel, God refers to Israel as his bride, as his
mm-hmm.
wife.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at Jesus talking about the church, certainly in Ephesians 5,
right,
Paul uses the illustration of the church to illustrate a husband-wife relationship, and Jesus refers to the church as his bride, that he bought it, he paid for it, he owns it.
Right.
And so marriage, if you look at the concept of marriage, it's a central element to how God relates to the nation of Israel and how Jesus relates to the church. The very basic fundamental concepts of marriage are in that they both are seen as a husband. Mm-hmm. And certainly Hosea refers to God by Ishi, you mm-hmm. shall call me Ishi, husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so God has, why would God say that if he didn't have specific roles for a husband? Certainly the same responsibilities that God puts on us as husbands are similar responsibilities that God placed upon himself as a husband to a nation or Jesus to a church.
Correct.
And certainly in Paul in Ephesians 5 uses the illustration of Jesus and the church to illustrate the concept of marriage.
So with that being said, let's dive into it.
Yeah,
let's just go ahead and dive into it, and feel free to stop me whenever, okay? I'm going to read in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 20. I'll go all the way down to verse 31, but stop me anywhere, and we can just talk about
sure.
it. Is that all right?
I gave you my old King James, so
that's okay.
You're going to have to kind of update the language perhaps a little for everybody.
That's okay. I think we'll be okay. So starting in verse 20, as the Apostle Paul is talking here, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 21, it starts this. It says, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
Then in verse 22, it says, go ahead.
The word submit
is
a Greek word, hupotasso.
Mm-hmm.
The word is a military word. And in order to understand what Paul's talking about, hupotasso is the idea of standing in ranks.
Mm-hmm.
The Greeks would have used that, for example, in the phalanx.
Right.
So as you fell into the phalanx, into your place in line, you hupotasso, you fell into your place, your position, your role.
Yeah.
Yes. So when Paul talks about submitting one to another here, he's not necessarily talking about husbands abrogating their responsibilities as leaders in the home and women taking leadership roles.
It's not greater or lesser.
Yeah. It's about specific roles.
Right.
If you think about a military organization, you have generals. You have colonels, you have majors, you have captains, you have lieutenants, then you have NCOs, and you get down to your lowly privates.
Right.
But a military, even though each one of those has a separate role to play and a separate measure of authority, one can't function without the other.
There you go.
You
That's
can't have
key.
An entire army of generals
right.
just bossing everybody around, bossing each other around, doesn't
right.
work that
it's
way.
It's not going to work.
Nor can you have an entire army of privates that are leaderless,
right.
where it's just, it would be chaos.
Chaos.
So it's interesting if Paul uses these military terms to describe the husband-wife relationship.
Right.
That there are specific roles mm-hmm. that a husband has and a specific role that a wife has. It doesn't demean the wife
Not
for
at
her
all.
To be in her position, nor does it make a husband a dictator in his position. God never put it that way. But he does describe very specific roles for husband and wife.
Right.
So the first thing I think we have to iron out is how important marriage is.
Okay.
That God put sex within marriage.
Right.
That God put child raising and child bearing within marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our world today where marriage is being torn apart.
Right.
And we have single parents raising children. That was... And I have a lot of sympathy for that. As I said in the last podcast, I have a daughter that's a single mom raising. So I have a lot of sympathy for that.
Sure.
And my heart goes out in my own family. We deal with it. But
sure.
I will also say that was never God's role or intention for the way the family should be organized.
Yeah. And let me add on to that, that even today, that I'm not sure that marriage, period, has the significance that it once had.
It doesn't, because there's a moral component to it.
Okay.
The idea that marriage was designed to unite us as one flesh
mm-hmm.
within a ceremony recognized by both God and men.
Right.
To bring us to a position intended by God to be a lifelong relationship that is sealed by a covenantal element, just as God did with Israel. How did he seal that covenant? With circumcision.
Right.
How does he seal it with the church? With baptism.
Right.
Okay, both of those ordinances are this concept of sealing that relationship, just like marriage is for a man and a woman. God designed us for that.
Sure.
For monogamy, for a single relationship intended for life, if you would, that's bound by this covenant.
Covenant.
A
right.
covenant, yes. God made a covenant with Israel.
Right.
He made a new covenant with the church.
Right.
And those covenants are everlasting, eternal. And I'm not saying we're married in heaven like Mormons would, but I'm saying that the concept of marriage is, in a perfect world, is designed to be lifelong.
Right.
And so that covenant element is a swearing of two people before God and men to accomplish that. And when you take it out of that role, you're setting yourself up for disaster, because if God designed marriage, God created marriage and defined it, and we take it and do whatever we want with it and tread it underfoot, believe me, God takes that very personally.
Absolutely. So now that we have this somewhat understanding of the word submit or submitting that I just read, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord, the very next verse, it says, wives, submit, same language.
Hupotasso.
Yeah.
So this is not a woman surrendering to her husband as her dictator.
Right.
This is her recognizing that God created her for a specific role.
Mm-hmm.
And that if I'm going to, in fact, I think later on in Ephesians, Paul says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, even as unto the Lord.
Right. Well, that's this verse. Yeah.
Yeah. So in this verse here, Paul talks about that, where you have this wife who comes to her husband and says, I want to fulfill the role that God created for me.
Yeah.
And that means that I have to be in a position, if you would, in a rank,
right,
if you would, that God has outlined
for me,
right?
That nobody else can do.
Yes. So because a soldier is a private, doesn't make him less important to the army than the general. He just has a different role to fight.
Correct.
A general, Norman Cota was a general of the American, I believe he was commander of the American 2nd Infantry Division.
Mm-hmm.
And in Normandy, he was, I think him and Theodore Roosevelt's son were the only two generals that were on Normandy at the time. But there were thousands of privates and NCOs and captains and majors and colonels that were up there.
Right.
So generals don't generally stand in the front very often. Now, there were some famous generals that did. Rommel was one who did. There are famous generals that stood in the front ranks and front lines on occasion. But most of the time, the generals stand back with a map and with their spotting glasses and their, you know, information pouring into headquarters. And they're making strategic decisions while the privates have to go out there and put it into motion.
Put it into action, right.
Yeah, put it into action. So they have specific roles to play, but that doesn't make the general more important than the private. It means that he has a different
Different role.
So God's not saying a woman is less important or less elevated than a man to fulfill her role.
That's right.
Rather, God has a specific purpose for her and a specific purpose for you and I as a husband.
So with that being said, to finish that verse, it just simply says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Correct.
Okay.
So what does that mean?
So I am fulfilling my role in the way that God has ordained.
Yes.
And nobody else can do that for me.
So you can tell a woman's, in essence, what Paul is saying, you can tell a woman's relationship with the Lord by her relationship with her husband.
Exactly.
So is she going to be submissive to God, submissive to his leadership, submissive to Jesus, who is the husband of the church?
Right.
And who is her provider, her protector,
mm-hmm.
her everything.
Mm-hmm.
If she is submissive to the Lord, that's going to be reflective on how she is to her husband.
To her husband, that is correct.
Yeah, and if she's going to lord over her husband, take control, I'm in charge, Marge, as they used to say, you know, that probably is going to get us a lot of feedback. But the point being is that if she has that attitude, that's going to be reflective in how she deals with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sure.
And reading the word and understanding the commands that God has given to her, I'm going to do it my way or the highway. That's going to be reflective in her relationship with Jesus Christ just as much as it is with her husband.
Sure. Sure. Because Paul continues to speak to the wife in verse 23, because as he finished that, he went on to say, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church.
Yes.
And he is the savior of the body.
So as we're talking about husbands, that means God has a role for me.
Correct.
I don't want to beat up wives tonight, but I will say that as men, I have a role to take a leadership position in my home.
Sure.
A spiritual leadership, physical leadership, financial leadership. Those are my responsibilities.
Sure.
And And God never intended for the wife to carry those responsibilities. He intended for the husband to carry those responsibilities. And I know for us, for my wife and I, my wife was a director of a daycare for years, Christian daycare.
Mm-hmm.
And the stress was terrible.
Sure.
And we prayed about it, and I said, May, I don't want them carrying you out on a stretcher. I don't want that.
Right.
So we've got to figure something out. And we decided that she was just going to retire. It was just too much.
Sure.
And God has blossomed her since she's been at home.
Yeah.
Her spirit is different. Her every element of her emotions are different.
Mm-hmm.
But in turn, that was a $36,000 a year cut that we took in income to do that.
Yeah.
Because she's not eligible for Social Security yet. She's not old enough.
Right.
I am. She's not. But the point being is that means that my responsibility as husband, I'm the breadwinner. I have to go out there and provide for my wife. That's God's call for me.
Sure.
And that's a heavy responsibility to have. So for her to look at me as head and for me to take that leadership role is a huge responsibility. But true. I do it, if I read Ephesians 5 correctly, with my wife's needs and interests at heart.
At heart. Exactly. Yes. There you go. So therefore, based upon verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Correct. Now, okay. Notice it says their own husbands.
Their own husbands.
They're not required to They're be not submissive required, to any other husband.
That's right.
But to their own. And
sure.
So what does that mean? That means that the final decisions God has invested in me to make.
Right.
But because I'm one flesh with my wife, as we talked about earlier, doesn't mean that I don't. I think
she's not included in the.
We're going to go down and see it further in Ephesians. We'll flesh that out.
Yeah.
But let me say this straight up front. It's not my job to just make blind decisions without ever counseling with my wife or taking her interests or needs or wants into consideration when I make those decisions.
You're not a dictator.
That is correct. God never called me to be a dictator.
There you go. All right. So Paul turns the tables now. He's talked to the wives for just a moment. Now he's going to talk to the husbands. In verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
Now, why does he say that?
Well, go ahead. because I think for any male that I've talked to about that, and I've read that verse, I tell them, you have no clue what it means to love your wife.
Right.
Until you are willing and ready to give
your life for your wife.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
We came home one night, actually had four of our grandkids in the car.
Mm-hmm.
We have 12, and actually, as of tomorrow, we'll have 13, but I have 12 grandkids.
Sure.
And I pulled up, and it looked like the front door was open, and May panicked. I think there's somebody in the house.
Sure.
I carry a pistol with me, and I said, I'll clear the house.
Sure.
You stay in the car. I'm going to clear the house. So I loaded the pistol. I locked and loaded it. I walked in the house, and I cleared the entire house. My grandkids still talk about that.
Papa,
you remember that time when you went in the house with a pistol to make sure nobody was in it? I mean, they knew that Papa's got this under control.
Sure.
I'm not going to send my wife in there and say, no. You go clear the house. I'm going to sit in the car. That's not her role. My role as protector and provider is to make sure that I'm taking care of her in that. And so when Paul says that we are to love our wives, why does he command the man to do that? Do you know he commands a man over and over again in the scripture to do that, and only once does God ever tell a wife to love her own husband? Why?
It's that important?
I think because men are selfish.
Yeah?
I think men inherently are selfish.
Well, flesh that out.
So I think by and large, men have this, we're almost a lot, we don't have the nurturing gift that women have. So when I talk to my wife, she'll tell me, my whole life is invested in you. That's what she'll tell me.
Mm.
Like when I cook a meal, I want to cook a meal to the best of my ability because I just want to make my husband happy. And men are more like, I want to go buy me a new car or truck, and I want to go fishing, and I want to, we tend to be in a lot of ways more selfish.
Sure.
And so this agape, a lot of people say it's unconditional love, but I think looking in the classical Greek, it's more of a willful love, to love from the will, to purpose to love.
To purpose to
love. So yeah. I am the purpose to love my wife like Christ loved the church. That means my purpose as a husband, my primary purpose is not first being a dad. Right. It's first being a husband.
There you go.
And we have four daughters between the two of us. And as I said, we'll have 13 grandkids as of tomorrow between the two of us.
Sure.
But my job is not first to be a dad and first to be a grandfather. My job is first to be a husband.
Be a husband.
And so because of that, I have to love my wife in a sacrificial, willful way in which her needs, her interests become primary to my very existence, if you will.
There you go. So verse 26 would probably just put a stamp on everything that you just said, because it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word.
Yes.
Okay. And that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it would be holy and without blemish.
Yeah. So we should So we have to set a home on a sense of holiness. And as a husband, that includes us. What does that mean? That means we have to avoid finding ourselves involved in pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because it demeans our wife.
Sure.
It means that she doesn't meet my desires and needs anymore. I have to go look for it someplace else.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
There has to be there's a sense of holiness.
Right.
I like my wife to look nice, but I don't expect my wife to dress like a hooker. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because that demeans her.
Right.
So for me and May, I want to elevate her to her best.
Sure.
And I don't know about your wife, but my wife struggles with self-image a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so her idea of self-image... We were out for a hike the other day. I'm going to confess this. It's true confessions tonight. Is that right, everybody?
I'm going to give you
a true confession here. Yeah, we're out going for a hike. We were out on hiking the other day, and we were out in the woods, and she made the comment, "I think I've put on a little bit of weight." I mean, that's like a death question to a husband, right?
Right.
Is your husband alive that even knows how to answer that question, right? And I said, I kind of paused, and I didn't answer it right away, and I said, "Oh, honey, I think you look great. You do think I put on weight." I mean, from then on, it crushed her.
Sure.
And I didn't mean anything. I didn't.
Right, right.
I didn't think she's put on weight. I confess that I don't think my wife, openly, that my wife's put on any weight. Okay, but I'm going to get killed in this podcast.
That's okay,
But I'm telling you.
I may have to find another co-host.
But I'm telling you, my wife's self-image is embedded in me.
Mm-hmm.
And just as we desire to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," I think that our wives desire their husbands to be expressive and to touch their needs in the five love languages.
Yeah.
We need to know their love language, and we need to reach out to that love language and embrace it.
Absolutely.
And make it ours so that they understand this idea of holiness in our home.
Yeah, there you
go. Does that help?
Yo, absolutely. So in verse 28, it says, "So ought men to love their wives," there it is again, "as their own bodies, and that he loves his wife," or "he that loves his wife loves himself."
That's correct.
Okay, because like you said before, we can be, and probably are, selfish.
Yes.
But if we love our wives like we're supposed to,
we become selfless.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
I think the first new car my wife ever had was the one that I bought her. And she always talks about that.
Yeah.
"You bought me my first new car." And then I bought her second new car. and I said to her today, in fact, today in the kitchen, she said, "You know, my first new car was the one you bought me." And that car, she had a major accident in that car just about 3 days before Christmas a few years ago.
Mm.
And went off the road and hit a concrete embankment and almost killed her. That car saved her life. And she always talks about silver saved my life.
Wow.
She names her cars, right?
Yeah.
So now she has blue.
Yeah.
It was a new car when I bought it for her. And I said, "Do you know why I bought you that new car?" And she says, "Why?" And I said, "Because I love you."
There you go. All right, so verse 29. Verse 29 says this. It says, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it.
Yes.
Okay, still gives us this idea that we're selfish at the end of the day if we don't watch out.
Well, so I guess there's a physical aspect to that. When you think about nourishing and cherishing yourself, as you know, I'm kind of an exercise freak. I mean,
right.
I work out. I run.
I'm not.
Yeah, you're not. I am. You never have been, and I always have been.
Yeah,
when we were on the road, you were always in a hotel drinking Diet Cokes, and I was out running.
That's right. That's right.
But anyway, the reason being is I want to be around for my wife.
Sure.
I want to take good care of her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the kind of guy, when I have a medical problem, I go to the doctor and get it taken care of. Primarily because I nourish myself and cherish myself, take care of myself.
Sure.
So that I can be strong for her and take care of her.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But on a spiritual level, that goes along with me nourishing her, cherishing her,
mm-hmm.
building her up.
Right.
Making my wife. I always joke that the word amazing has the word may in it, and she hates when I tell people that. Drives her crazy. But I always say that because I call her my amazing May, my amazing wife. And I'm not tooting my own horn, because I can tell you plenty of mistakes I've made as a husband also, all the stupidity I've done. But I will tell you that my job as a husband is to lift up my wife, to
sure.
make her feel like she's all that there is in my world next to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So, with that said, let's wrap this up. Can we do that?
I really want to get down to that weaker vessel.
Well, I'm going to get you to the one flesh.
Yes, okay.
Okay, we'll finish up. I'm going to start in verse 31. It says, and for this cause shall a man, I think this was in the Old Testament as well,
yes.
right? Yeah. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh.
Yes.
And so I'm going to finish with that verse, and speaking about one flesh gives the whole different meaning and concept to really being a husband and wife, and really what that boils down to.
I think that a husband and wife has a relationship that is, when it's built on a biblical foundation, it is a spiritual unity that is well beyond physical aspects.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think that when you're built on a biblical foundation, sex isn't just a physical act.
Right.
It's a spiritual.
It's an intimate.
Intimate, spiritual, emotional connectivity between the husband and wife that only the two of them share.
Correct.
So, and I think in the concept of one flesh, when you look at your wife as an extension of yourself, it changes how you see her.
Correct.
So I see a lot of marriages where the husband and wife are in competition.
Mm-hmm.
They're antagonistic. I hear wives running down their husbands, and I'm on job sites where they call their wife their old lady and all this other. I never talk about my wife like that, ever.
No.
Ever.
Right.
Because for me, my wife, when they ask me, you know, what's your wife like? I always tell them, my wife is the top of the pile. She is the best wife ever.
Right.
I married the best.
Right.
And sometimes they'll argue and say, no, well, I think we could argue about that. Well, that's good that you would willing to be arguing on behalf of your wife
sure,
being the best.
And my right. being,
other guys will say, well, I'm glad you found the best. My wife, you know, and they'll take off.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, you have lost the very essence of one flesh. You have lost that very meaning spiritually of what it means for a husband and wife to be unified. And God puts that responsibility, as you can see, on the husband to nurture that.
Absolutely.
The bottom line is that's your job to nurture.
There you go.
If you're not nurturing, it's like the old computer saying, you get out of it what you put into it.
Right, exactly.
You know, Geiger, yep. Garbage in, garbage out. Right. I took programming in college, and so is one of my side majors, garbage mm-hmm. in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you program a computer to do is what it's going to give you.
Right.
It goes with being a husband. What you invest in the marriage is what you're going to get out of it.
Exactly.
When you invest in your wife and you make her feel safe and you make her feel secure, and you make her feel loved, and you make her feel beautiful, and you make her feel protected, mm-hmm. when you and you and secure and provided sure. for, when you do all of those things as a husband,
sure,
you'll be shocked at how your wife will respond.
Oh, absolutely.
To you.
If you've not made any investments, don't you dare go make a withdrawal.
That's correct.
You'll find yourself in trouble.
And so she's always calling me her knight in shining armor. I told you about that car accident, right?
Right.
Well, when she called me, I was over an hour away, and I said, I'll be there. And I called my office, said, my wife's in a major accident. I'm going to get her. You're going to have to cover the jobs that I had to cover today, but I'm going to get my wife.
Right.
I drove out there. As soon as I got there, I jumped out of the car, and I took command. This is my wife, her car. You're not going to tell me what we're going to do with the car or with my wife.
Right.
Right. I'm going to decide that.
There you go. Yeah.
And she always talks about how her knight in shining armor, it kind of chokes me up. You know, she talks about how I was her knight in shining armor that showed up in her moment of greatest need.
Yeah.
And that's what God wants. And we always joke, she loves Coke Ices, right?
Right.
And invariably, I don't care where you go, Speedways, United Dairy Farmers, you know, Circle K's, wherever we stop, invariably it's the Coke icing machines that aren't working. And I have literally driven 5 or 6 different places
just to get
to
that.
Bring her an icy home.
Yep.
To find one that's working. And it becomes this standing joke.
Yeah.
I want an icy. Okay, I'll be home in about 2 hours, but I'll bring an icy, you know. But why would I do all of that?
At the end of the day, because you love.
Because I love and I cherish my wife.
There you go.
That's exactly. And she, in turn, responds the same way.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, Chris, thank you. I know that's probably been a lot of personal stuff, but at the same time, a lot of biblical stuff as well. And I appreciate.
I think it's good that our audience gets to know
our
us
audience
a bit,
gets to know us a little bit better.
Which is not a cutout face.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but we want to say thank you once again. Hopefully, the aspect of being a husband, what that means, what that looks like from a biblical perspective, hopefully that is giving you a little insight, some stuff to chew on a little bit, and some stuff to think about. And Chris, I want to thank you once again for being a part of this podcast.
I think time we're going to talk a little bit about dating, I think.
I think so, and what that looks like from an Old Testament
perspective. Yeah,
right. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll look forward to that. But until then, may God give you everything that you need. Again, if you need anything, info@thecovering.tv, and we'll be glad to answer any of those questions that you may have for us. But until then, God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks again for joining us. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Covering Church Podcasts.